It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hello there. Welcome to this week's edition of the show. I'm your host, Scotty Myers, joined by Natalie, my wife.
Hi.
Hi. Don't forget social media if you want to check us out there. The Scotty Myers Show, Facebook and Instagram, at Scotty Myers on Twitter. And you can always reach us there or scottymyersmedia.com. And we're horror movie buffs. There's a new Conjuring movie coming out this week, this Friday.
Would you consider me a buff?
I think you are. I think you get excited over horror movies more than like regular. I'll mention a regular movie to you and you'll be like, nah. And then if I mention like a horror movie, you're kind of like, oh yeah.
Yeah, I guess when I'm bored on a weekend, it's more fun to watch a scary movie. Now, the only thing that kind of makes me laugh at myself is that I will stay up all night thinking about seeing shadows in the dark or a scary monster I saw in a movie, a total fictional pretend movie, but I could watch crime shows all day long and have it has no effect on me whatsoever. And those are actual monsters.
I think you should change that by you could as to you do watch crime shows all
day. Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's pretty much what you watch.
Well, I'm working from home. I've seen them millions of times over and over again over the last year and a half.
And yeah, those don't bug you at all. It's like they, you know, they broke into his trailer and found 92 bodies dismembered and strewn about and he was having sex with one of them and you're like, oh, that's an interesting show. And it's like horror movie shows up, a guy would lose his arm, you're like, a sick,
right? I mean, I do have it does, the crime shows do help me sort of be more aware of my surroundings, I guess, but it doesn't keep me up at night. Like, I'll make sure that the patio, even though we live on the fifth floor of the sixth floor building, I'll make sure that the patio door is always locked if I'm not in the living room, because all it took was one crime show where someone climbed down a balcony and broke into an open patio door and murdered a lady. I was like, nope, because the guy that lives upstairs, I don't trust him. He's up at like 11:30 at night. Sounds like he's building levels like Kramer. And then he's up at like 5:30 in the morning, stomping around with his cement shoes on. I don't trust him.
There is something weird going on upstairs. I hope he doesn't figure out who this is if he listens.
Maybe it'll be a nice hint for him.
Well, maybe. But like, he was also out getting sun one day. We had a really nice day and he was out like on his deck getting sun. I could see because I was
Is that today?
No. This was like
I've never seen him.
A couple weeks ago. But he was laying down like on a like chaise, I guess, or whatever.
A gravity chair
type thing. And laying like you were suntanning, yet he was fully covered. And I was just like, that's weird.
Maybe he just wants his face to get some sun.
Maybe. But still, very, very weird. Kind of the catalyst to this whole horror movie conversation was the master of horror, Stephen King, who I love. Stephen, I was reading Stephen King in like grade 7.
Wow, you want a medal?
Yeah. I left. So we used to have like reading period after lunch. It was like to calm the kids down. You would sit and read for 15 minutes and then you would change room. Like we would change classroom. So you come back, go to your homeroom, have reading period, and then go to another class. I lost so many books because I put them down, grab my other stuff and go. And then obviously some kid takes your book, especially if you're reading horror. At that age, that's like contraband,
right?
Like it's like, oh, he's,
it's like a dirty magazine to a kid.
Yeah.
What's in here?
Oh, I've heard of Stephen King. And like, you know, I mean, and for a kid, some of his books like It, it's daunting. Like you could kill somebody with a copy of It. It's so thick. So I went through 4 copies of that book until I finished it. Because I lost them.
Yeah.
But anyway, the master of horror was doing some press and he said there was a horror movie that he could not get through all the way. And you're probably guessing something like The Exorcist.
Yeah, or Poltergeist.
Yeah, something classic that people always talk about being the top. And this one, I guess people do say is one of the scariest ones, but it was Blair Witch.
Yeah, he was in the hospital for something, you know, when it came out. So what, the late 90s?
Yeah.
And his son brought the VHS of it over, said, you got to watch this. Clearly knowing his father is the master of horror. And yeah, he's like, I was in the hospital. I was all doped up and couldn't get through it. Had to stop it halfway because it was too freaky. He didn't say he was scared, but it was too freaky. And that was like the first of its kind, right? That found footage sort of movie. And I remember hearing about it. I hadn't seen it until years later, but Yeah, I could see that it was a pretty scary, you get immersed in it. You feel like you're a fly on the wall of somebody's haunted nightmares.
Well, people thought it was real.
Yeah.
Like I remember when that movie came out, people were like, those people are dead.
Yeah, where
like,
are they?
They went missing. And it was like, they're actors. And I was like, no, it's a real thing.
Well, it took them like a year or two to go on a talk show, right? Like they were really playing this up, this idea that these people are missing. Yeah. They can't find their bodies. They're dead. My sister, Michelle, went to the theaters to see Blair Witch. And my oldest sister, Renee, had already seen it. So she knew that Michelle was going to get scared. I had not seen it. I think, I was like in grade 7. I was 12, 13 or something. And so Renee came over to my parents' place, told me like, it's really scary. Let's scare Michelle. So Renee and I went in the woods and found sticks. And again, I had not seen the movie at this point, but we made the stick people.
Okay, yeah, the little.
We gathered a bunch of rocks because of the cemetery or something, a rock circle. There was something about rocks. And put it in Michelle's room, put like this huge stick person over her bed and little stick people everywhere. And we had like candles lit in the rocks and we thought we were so hilarious. And then, you know, an hour goes by, the movie's clearly over.
And she jumped out the window to her dad.
Well, Michelle called my dad at home from a payphone at the movie theater, crying, saying, please come pick me up. I don't want to go home with my friends. I don't want to stay out longer than the movie. I'm really freaked out. So my dad knew we were up to no good. So he came upstairs and he was like, girl, take this stuff down. Michelle's really scared. She's crying. I'm going to pick her up. So we had to take all the stuff down. She didn't know until years later when I told her.
That's amazing. So obviously it freaked her out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember my reaction to it. I remember that story because it was hilarious.
Yeah.
But I don't remember when I watched it. What I was thinking, but those ones that came out after the Paranormal Activity.
Oh, movies, yeah.
Where that was like another found footage stuff. That was pretty freaky too, but I think I was more freaked out about the first one because the actress in that movie is my twin.
She does look a lot like you.
It's so freaky.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the third one, that was the one that I turned off. I don't know if it was because I was watching it in the dark. Or if I was just like fed up with this found footage stuff and thought, oh, this is, it's just not fed up, like frustrated, but fed up, like it's too real. It's way too real.
I did love the concept of those ones, just the home security footage and that for the Paranormal Activity one.
Yeah, trying to track a ghost.
I loved the concept of those. And then they got silly.
Yeah. Well, the one that I stopped watching was like, it was in the 90s and found VHS footage of when that girl was a little girl or something.
Yeah, they tried to make
like
it like a bigger overarching story.
Yeah, like a whole origin story. And it's kind of crummy.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing with those. The one that found footage, just talking about found footage horror movies, that I don't think gets its due. There was one that came out called The Last Exorcism. I am a huge fan of that one.
Oh, I don't think I've seen it.
It was like, obviously, The Last Exorcism, but it was kind of like this preacher who was doing exorcisms, but he was a hoax. And so he's showing the camera guy going like he was tired of being a hoax. So he was showing like this, how he makes smoke come out of the cross when I put it near the person and all that. And then this is a real like possession.
Okay.
Right. So this guy's fuck because he doesn't know what he's doing. He's been doing hoaxes. And it was really well done. I really enjoyed that one. But it kind of came out at the end of the found footage.
Yeah. I think they should stop those now.
Well, I mean,
we're on to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're kind of done. You know, if you put them to bed for 10 years and then do another one, someone will be like, oh, that's cool. Haven't seen one of those in forever.
Yeah. But the thing, and I think with those, with paranormal activity, what they thought they could do is let's keep making them. But wait a second. If we keep making them in the current era, there's too much smart technology that we can't just be like, oh, found footage on this iPod or smartphone. Oh, the battery's dead. It's useless. I mean, it's just, you have to kind of do that. It's VHS and go back to the old school because I just don't think it's going to work anymore.
Yeah, it's tough. The more newer technology comes along, it's tough to do the found footage thing unless you really threw it back and it was like the 70s or something like that. Like you found like home movie 70s, right. Like the Sinister.
Yeah, one but then you've, watched. You don't, you, that's not an era where, I mean, they existed, I guess. Handheld cameras weren't really a thing. So
yeah, I guess. Like, yeah.
Let me open the sticks and put the camera on the tripod. Sticks is what us in the media industry call a tripod. Oh, okay, y'all. Okay. Sticks.
I don't want to sound like a tough guy, but I can honestly say I have never been that disturbed by a horror movie that I shut it off.
Okay.
Like none. I was, not to brag, but I was watching horror movies when I was a kid.
Well, if you're watching, I mean, you're reading It and stuff, your imagination's going to be the movie for you. I was watching scary movies when I was like 3 years old because I had neglectful grandparents for babysitters. And then on top of that, my parents were like, well, we want to watch this. It's the rental's due tomorrow, so go to bed or stay up and watch it.
See, the first one I
watched... We're not watching Mickey Mouse, okay?
The first one I watched was A Nightmare on Elm Street, the first nightmare.
Right.
And the reason why I watched that was we used to have... I mean, I guess you still do if you pay for like HBO and stuff like that. We have one here called First Choice. That was the one in Canada for the longest time. And a friend of my parents had it, and they recorded the like hour... thriller,
okay,
like documentary and video and all that on it, and that was the first thing on the VHS. And when they gave it to me, they said, "Don't go past Thriller. Like, don't tell a kid,
right?
Don't go do that." Because instantly, I was like, "Oh, what the fuck is past Thriller?" Yeah. Like, you know. And right after Thriller, Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, no buffer, no nothing. It was like Thriller credits, Nightmare.
Yeah,
that's it. And I used to come home from school. I was walking from school. I was like in grade like 3. And I would come home from school and my grandmother lived with us. She would make me fish sticks and French fries. Ugh. Or pan fries, actually. And I would watch 30 minutes of A Nightmare on Elm Street like every day. Like I was obsessed with them. I love the Nightmare series and the first one, especially like Tina's body getting thrown around the room and you can't see. I watched that damn near every day. And then so it was like when the second one came out, it was like, I gotta see that. So I just haven't like had that experience with a horror movie. Now I will say I did walk out of a movie once in the theater. It wasn't a horror movie. It was that Soccer Players in the Mountains flick.
Alive.
Alive. Yeah, that's the one. Me and my friends went to that because they were like, oh, the plane crash is so real and it's such a great movie. And the plane crashed. And I was like, that looked like shit.
Oh, my God.
And I got up and I left and I went into a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie called Nowhere to Run. Him and Patricia
Arquette. So that didn't look like shit?
It didn't look. Listen, it was Jean-Claude, it was JCVD kicking ass, right. Which I was way more into than soccer players eating each other.
It's a true story.
I know. It just didn't grab
now,
me.
Now, a lot of people would find that more disturbing than a horror movie because it's based on a real story. And then you kind of put yourself in that scenario of like, yeah, what would I do if I was a survivor in a plane crash and the meat's frozen, so it's not going bad, but you gotta survive.
Well, I think maybe that was also a thing. Like, I was a little heftier then. So maybe I was like, if that was me, they'd all be looking at me going, we can live for years off of him.
Like, that's right. You didn't want them to run out of popcorn and then start looking at you like you were a snack. This is a
dangerous thing. You start throwing the idea of cannibalism around like that and people are like, man, I ate all my popcorn before the trailers were over. My glossette raisins are gone. That dude hand might have some butter left on it.
Like, knowing you, it does.
Probably. Yeah, I slather the butter. But yeah, like, so I don't know. That movie just didn't grab me. And so I walked out and watched a very shitty action movie that I can't defend. It was terrible, but I enjoyed it.
You still enjoy shitty movies.
I do. You know what? I love shitty movies. I really do. Like,
what one were we watching like last night? Blade 3.
Blade Trinity. Yeah.
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 And,
yeah,
and
yeah.
You were like all, you know, rolling your eyes because I was making fun of it.
It's and the worst was, of the Blade films.
I was
films.
Like, well, then pick something else to watch. And you know, going through the guide, going through the channels.
There's nothing else just, on.
No, there's nothing else on. Blade Trinity. Frig me. That was a shitty movie. But for the 5 minutes that I saw it, it was like the scene that we were watching where they were in the hallway and battling.
When they bust Blade out of
what is that?
Police.
That's a Star Wars ripoff and a half. Like,
yeah.
The The acting was terrible. Ryan Reynolds. I mean, was that the last movie Jessica Biel was in? Like, come on.
Triple H, the wrestler, is in there. Yeah. Parker Posey.
Yeah, Parker Posey.
Indie darling Parker Posey.
And when she showed up on the screen in the scene we were watching, what did I say? Does this look like a BTU?
Yeah.
From Best in Show. Which was ironically on the same channel like a week ago.
Yeah.
They must have a deal with like the actors that are in these 90s movies or something.
The thing that I noticed that I never noticed in the little bit that we watched, it looked like she was struggling with her teeth.
Parker Posey has quite a wide mouth.
Yeah.
So that was probably a benefit to them casting her, was like, oh, she can take the teeth. But yeah, I mean, those vampire teeth, that'd be a struggle for anyone.
I think so. Oh, God, yeah. And it's such a, listen, I could talk for hours on how great the Blade movies are prior to the third one, like the first two. And that last one was just such a letdown. Like, such a letdown. But I would sit there and watch that from beginning to end with a big dumb smile on my face. You get mad at me every time. It's like Demolition Man is on, which it's on a lot.
But these channels, man, like, that's why I tell you we should cut cable, because now when I work working from home now, I don't appreciate cable, because it's not like I'm coming home at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock going, time to watch cable.
Yeah.
I've seen the show that they're showing at 6 o'clock at night. I've seen it at 5 a.m., 8 a.m., it was on again at 12, and then on again at 3. Like, yeah. There's nothing new or special. So don't worry. You'll see Demolition Man again. You'll see Blade Trinity again, probably tomorrow at 7 a.m.
Every time Demolition Man is on, I want to watch it.
I liked that movie when I was a kid, too, mostly because of the concept of the toilet paper, of like...
The three seashells?
What happened? Like, I know maybe environmental factors were an issue, but ever since I was a kid, I was always like... So they don't want to use toilet paper, but what made them go, I have an alternative,
three
seashells.
Well, and they never explain it. Like, they never go, this is how the three seashells work.
It has to be three.
Right. So it's like...
I imagine there's a lot of scraping, but like, have not experienced life with a set of labia.
Right.
Many labias, if you're lucky. Like, I wouldn't put seashell edges on my lady bits.
I didn't think of them as legitimate seashells. I thought of them, in my mind, as like seashell things on the wall, and you went from station to station, like maybe rinse.
Okay, so like a bidet.
Air dry. Yeah, that's how
it... No, I think they're actual seashells. No, I don't think so. Because no, I think if it was in the future, they would just be like, oh, we're all about bidets now, and they would call it a bidet. A bidet is a bidet.
But like, see, this is the great mystery of Demolition Man.
That's the great mystery of Demolition Man.
How in the fuck do
not how they bring back people from Frozen to alive?
That's cryo technology.
Not
listen,
how Taco Bell is. I mean, don't get me started. It's 2021, and I think Taco Bell is a fancy restaurant. But like, how did that happen?
They won the franchise
war.
Why
are people naive and stupid? Like, why is Sandra Bullock and whoever else is in that movie, Rob Schneider, why are they innocent, naive simpletons?
Listen, there's a lot. And
it's only like 20 years from the bad times.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's the thing.
How did things change so fast?
Yeah, there's the big earthquake, they explained, and that kind of changed a lot of people.
And all of a sudden, seashells came out of the earth, and they were like, well, the toilet paper's gone. We better scrape our anuses with these rigidy pieces of shards of almost glass.
But you see, that's why I don't think it's real, is because then why would there be three? Why wouldn't you just say, well, you use the seashells? Like, I'm going to find out who wrote that movie and try to book them
maybe
on
the director.
The show.
Just the add director on Twitter and explain
the
seashells.
A full,
okay,
with diagrams.
And who washes the seashells? Do you flush them in the toilet? Are they constant? Is there someone in the bathroom to rinse them for you? Do you have to put them in the dishwasher? I mean,
there's a lot of questions.
If I can be graphic, when I am having a visit to the washroom, number two. I usually use more than one wad of toilet paper.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Unless it's
I'm
a
not
ghost
alone.
Poop, which are the greatest things ever.
I don't really have those.
Oh, those
I'm
are
a
the
mess.
Best. Those are the best. When you get up and you wipe and there's nothing, so this is kind of
now,
dirty. But
something.
But when you do it, you're like, man, my butt did its job perfectly.
It really clenched.
It cut it at the right point. Like, just... It's like when you break a candy bar and there's a perfect line, there's no left. That's what it's like.
That's exactly what it's like.
But we need to get somebody from Demolition Man.
So on. Is the shell like, do you require are three shells the equivalent of three wads of toilet paper? Because it's never, you know, it's never really clean.
Right. I don't, we need the writer, director. Stallone might know the answer if he's.
And what if you're on your period? That's a mess. That can be very messy. I'm not using a thing, you know, she shall just scrape. Yeah, like if they're not having toilet paper, what about pads and tampons? What is going on?
There's a lot of questions about the future world of Demolition Man.
Maybe that movie scared Stephen King too.
It should scare a lot of people. It's a great movie though. But yeah, I am gonna actively try to get somebody. Writer, director, I'll shoot for Stallone. I'll tweet him and be like, dude, seriously.
Yeah.
What is the deal with the three?
Explain the three seashells.
Somebody explain it to me. And the scary thing is, and the one thing from that movie that I could see happening in the future, and the not so far different, like distant future, are radio stations just playing old ads.
Yeah.
Because that was the other thing, right? They love the oldies station that was just like the Oscar Mayer Wiener song and stuff like that.
Well, if you think about technology now, if you are lucky enough to not have cable, I mean, you don't really watch commercials. And when they are on before YouTube ad, or maybe when you're watching like HBO or something, and they slide those commercials in, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
But eventually you do have that nostalgia of old commercials.
I guarantee you there is a commercial jingle in your head that you enjoy. Like,
sure.
like an old, and that's the thing. So it's not a far stretch to go, people like these things. We're going to play them.
Yeah.
Like it's really not a far stretch to sit there and go, that's what could be on a radio station. Some radio programmer might be like, you know what? Let's fuck it. Let's try it. And then if it does well in the ratings, they'll pop up everywhere.
Yeah.
Like it, you know, I could legitimately see that happening.
Well, let's hope this three seashells don't happen.
Seriously. If anybody out there has an answer or can get me in touch with someone that can answer this. This is the most pressing mystery in cinema history. Not what's in the briefcase in Pulp Fiction. I can't even think of another one. It's the three seashells in Demolition Man.
Yeah.
That's it.
Let's figure it out.
We need to figure that out. Alrighty, on to geek news this week. We will start in the world of DC Comics. And, of course, The Rock, currently filming Black Adam. And the producers were asked what the plans were for this character going forward. And the producers said that both The Rock and the entire crew kind of working with The Rock on the Black Adam film hopes this is the first of many, and that they have had discussions with Warner Brothers / DC about where they want to go with the character and the Justice Society of America and all the things that they're unveiling in this film. And they said there's lots of plans put in place. They can't really discuss those right now because they can't spoil anything. But they did say the plan is to do many films featuring Black Adam. So whether that means Black Adam solo films, maybe him showing up in other movies, it's hard to say, but we're going to get one of DC's biggest anti-heroes on film quite a bit if all goes according to plan. And speaking of seeing somebody back again, the Joker is coming back. Todd Phillips has been hired to co-write the Joker 2 script. Now, of course, he wrote and directed the first Joker movie that was a massive success, and it's nice to see him back at least writing the second one. It will definitely help with the continuity of the story they were telling there. I'll be curious to see where they take it. You know, whether they kind of pull back the mask and go, yeah, he wasn't the real Joker, or is he the real Joker? And then maybe we get Batman. I mean, it's hard to say. There's a few places they definitely could go with the Joker sequel, but interesting, and glad to see Todd Phillips back. And Tolan Krieger, who has been doing some great directorial work on Superman and Lois for the CW. If you have not checked out that show, you are missing out. The show is like movie quality and telling a very cool Superman story. So if you're missing out on the Superman and Lois, check it out. But they've hired him to direct at least a couple episodes of the Green Lantern show headed to HBO Max. So they got themselves a good director there based on his previous work. Over in the Star Wars world, not a whole lot going on. We know, you know, Obi-Wan is shooting and whatnot, but Zack Snyder's been out doing press for Army of the Dead, and he was supposed to do a Star Wars spinoff a few years back. They had talked to him, and he had written a story, and so somebody asked him about it, where that was. Basically, where it sits right now is it's probably not going to be a Star Wars movie, but he has written a story that's very sci-fi based, and he may get that into production at some point. He didn't have a tight timeline on it. So if all goes according to plan, we will see Zack Snyder's Star Wars movie. It just won't be under the Star Wars banner. Probably won't be any lightsabers in it either. But, you know, we'll get a good idea on what he was thinking of doing in a galaxy far, far away. And, you know, the way things are going now, he's done some work with some comic books to fill in some of the Army of the Dead story, and that maybe even if he doesn't get to make it as a film, they could turn it into a comic book and we could still get that story. I'd be curious to see what he was cooking up for the Star Wars universe. And over in the Marvel world, Thor Love and Thunder wrapped production. They shared a pic of Chris Hemsworth looking absolutely jacked, like bigger than he's ever looked. I don't know if this is part of his training for the Hulk Hogan biopic or what. But based on that photo, we are definitely not going to get Lebowski Thor in Love and Thunder like we did in Endgame. This looks like it's going to be full-on badass Thor, so that is some good news there. And we do have a Captain America 4 rumor. Of course, the plan is Captain America 4 with Anthony Mackie as Captain America. Also, Emily Van Camp will be back as Sharon Carter. And the rumored villain will be the daughter of Red Skull, Sin. She could be making her Marvel Cinematic Universe debut in Captain America 4. And it makes sense if you kind of think about it. You know, Red Skull has always been Cap's biggest villain, and they haven't really been able to work him in effectively in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You know, he was in the first Captain America movie, never returned for any of the follow-ups. We did see him guarding the Soul Stone in Infinity War, but that was it for Red Skull, which is a little disappointing. You know, great villain in Marvel lore. So now that you've got this kind of next generation Captain America thing happening, where you've got a new Captain America, you've got, you know, Sharon Carter, the niece of Peggy Carter, so it's all this kind of second generation type feel. The second generation Red Skull in Sin would make sense, total sense as a villain, and fit in that theme nicely. So the rumor makes sense. Take it with a grain of salt for now, but hopefully that will all play out. And switching over to a movie I never thought I'd talk about, the Super Mario Brothers movie that came out in 1993 that was universally panned as a terrible movie. I only saw it once. I barely remember it. But apparently, it has been released online now with 20 minutes of additional footage. Now, this footage has been restored by Super Mario Brothers, the movie archive. These people have been working for years to find and restore it. I can't imagine that anybody wanted to work for years on this movie, but they have. It's called Super Mario Brothers, the Morton Jankel Cut. It is free to watch on the Internet Archive, and you can tell what scenes have been re-added as they all have timestamps on them. So it's pretty easy to see what was added back into the movie. And who knows, an extra 20 minutes, maybe that will make the Super Mario Brothers movie a whole lot better. It's worked before, right? So I'll have to check this out. If you check out the Morton Jankel cut of the Super Mario Brothers movie, let me know what you thought of it. The Scotty Mars Show on Facebook and Instagram at Scotty Mars on Twitter. And that will do it for this week's edition of the show. Thank you so much for tuning in, telling your friends, and spreading the word. And until we chat again, have a great week.